Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible, and this is chapter 1 in 1 Thessalonians. So go ahead, we'll read from King James and parallel it with commentary.
Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks.
Okay, this is like a salutation. So go ahead and read the salutation on the commentary here.
This letter is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy.
Silas. Okay. And Paul, Silas, and Timothy. All them together. Then what?
It is written to the church in Thessalonica, you who belong to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May his power, his grace, and peace be yours. We always give thanks to God for you all and pray for you constantly.
No, go to the King James. Then redo that, just what you did. Okay, go ahead.
We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father.
Okay, now, because this is only 10 verses. Go ahead with the commentary now.
We always give thanks to God for all of you and pray for you constantly as we talk to our God and Father regarding your work of faith and your labor of godly work, deeds, and your continuous patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Godly work is like godly deeds. In other words, you're not supposed to just read the Word of God, but he's talking about we're talking about your godly deeds, your godly work. So if people don't do any godly work, that is, if they're not allowing the Lord to totally control them by the Holy Spirit, you're not doing any godly deeds, you're not doing any godly work, because God is the one that works. That word God worketh in me mightily, okay? And so if you're just busy about doing your own thing during the day, then there are no godly works or godly deeds or works in you. So read that again.
As we talk to our God and Father regarding your work of faith and your labor of godly work, deeds, and your continuous patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Continuous patience of hope means that you continually, patiently do the things that the deeds that the Lord tells you to do every day, because it gives you great hope when you know that you're satisfying the Lord by doing the deeds that he says for you to do. That shows that you have hope. When people don't do what the Lord commands you to do, when there are no deeds or good works in you, then you have no hope of a good eternity. Now, every one of us has an eternal immortal soul. We're going to live eternally someplace. Some of us will spend eternity in the kingdom of heaven, and some will spend eternity in the lake of fire. You're going to spend eternity somewhere, and there's no getting out. So you could be lazy and spend eternity in hell and the lake of fire. And just because you're lazy and you are not mindful of the consequences of not doing any godly deeds, you just read and pray, read and pray, read and pray. That's not enough. We're talking about your godly deeds. He said, because everybody, far and wide, is talking about the deeds that you people do. Because they see action, God in action, in you. And so therefore, anyone that there's no action whatsoever, it's like looking at a water pool that has, it's stagnant, there's no motion in it, and it just gets mosquitoes, which are larvae and all sorts of other vermin inside of it. The water has to be moving because God is a mover. Everything is moving in the entire universe and moving in those of whom he lives. In the people that are doing godly deeds, you can tell that God is in them. There's no evidence of that in anyone where there are no godly deeds. Or people are full of their own emotions. You can tell that they're boiling over with anger whenever you tell them certain things. they've got a chip on their shoulder all the time, or they're just blasé, or they say, well, the devil came and got me, and so I crawled out the window, and I was going to run away, I was going to go down the hill, I was going to walk down the highway, I was going to do these different things. Well, that isn't the work of the Lord. You're ashamed. And you don't have to be ashamed, but you have been, and we need to be like the Apostle Paul, where he said he doesn't look back at the things he did, but he keeps pressing towards the goal, the kingdom of heaven. So he says, straight is the way. Straight and narrow is the path. So when you're walking down a narrow path, there's pressure. The Bible says that you have to squeeze into the kingdom of heaven, that you're barely going to make it. It's so narrow that you really have to, in the Greek it says, squeeze into heaven. And so that there's no possible way that you're going to get into the kingdom of heaven unless there's pressure there. Because if there's no pressure whatsoever, the road to eternal damnation is broad and wide and easy. Anybody can go to hell. And everybody is going to hell, with the exception of a few that stay on the straight and narrow path, that are full of the deeds of the Lord, and that are squeezing themselves, walking, carrying a cross, narrowly getting in, because heaven means that much to them. Heaven has no meaning to those that just go to hell. They're just, they lay around all day doing nothing. And when they get up, they don't do anything. Very little. Very little. Anything that they put their hand to, they just think that God, they're just really a wonderful person of God. If they even lift their fingers, it's like God said in His Word that they wouldn't they wouldn't even open the door of the church unless they got paid. And people say, well, we don't get a paycheck. The federal government, even, as crazy and insane as they are, they say that you people earn, the least of the people in this church earns $3,000 a month because of your place where you stay, your food, your clothing, everything is taken care of for you, your medical, your dental. Some of you people have run up dental bills up to $10,000 and $15,000. And all the other bills that you have, medical bills, and vehicles to transport you back and forth to different places. So you're getting paid, and there's very little work in you. And people find that out when they get put out of the church. They say, well, can we come back? You know, we couldn't find a job. Well, some people like to think of themselves as independent and that they could do really well out there in the world. But I don't see the evidence of that. We have a very good life in this church. And it's far better than anyone else out in the world. People are struggling to... You don't have any idea. Most of the people in this church have no idea what food costs. I mean, some of the stuff is astounding to me. Just a bottle of bleach is like way up there, and everything is like expensive, and nobody worries about it. You don't pay bills. You don't have to worry about paying bills or taxes or anything like that. You've got the easy life. It's like, a lot of people don't want to leave prison because they say, well, I can't make it out on the streets. I want to stay in here. At least I get 3 hots and a cot. I've been in there for the gospel, and I know that there are no godly deeds in them, and they just love floating around during the day. They like, they know when lunch, breakfast is. They know when lunch is. They know when dinner is. And even if they get thrown in the hole, some of them don't mind it because all they do is just sit in a cell all day long. And they don't have any money in there. A lot of them, we get requests from Bedelia Prison, 70, 80 women at a time call in here wanting enough money for hygiene. And if they don't have any shoes, they say the shoes at the prison pinch them. And the clothing there doesn't fit right. People have been raised in the gospel field. You've had it made all your life, and you're wanton, a lot of people. They'll drink one drink of a bottle of Dasani water and leave it laying around. They take food and just let it sit out. And, you know, to people that have worked for a living, that makes you really hate the way they are, okay? Because I was never raised that way. We didn't have that sort of stuff. when I was a kid, I had to go out and work for what I had. And then there's some people that just think they deserve it. And those are the people that are going to, they don't have any godly deeds in them, and they don't care to have any. And they think that, you know, everything is going to be all the time the way it is. But God can change the environment for you so quickly and teach you a lesson, and one that you're not going to like, because you've never known what it's like to be without. But in this first chapter of 1 Thessalonians, Paul is talking about that he's commending them, he's complimenting them on the deeds that they've done. And he even goes on to say that people, everywhere we go, people are talking about that they can see you doing the work of God. And that's where people have to be in the Lord, because this is serving the Lord. The Bible's talking here about people that serve God. And he says it in so many different ways, it's hard to miss the correct way of how to serve the Lord, so that there's no excuse. It's another reason why people don't read the Bible, is they don't want to know. There's actually people in this world that are very sick, and they don't want to be healed because they get off of welfare. That's how lazy they are. If they knew, they interviewed a bunch of them, they say, if you knew you could be healed, would you? And they'd say, no, I wouldn't be able to get my welfare check and my disability check. They don't want healing. They're the scum of the earth. Scum. Users. They live off of the taxes of other people. They don't want to go to work. And that's why they're coming in with the law. The federal government doesn't like this kind of people. They want people that are no longer useful to society. They want to kill them. This is called euthanasia. And they've been doing that in Germany for years and in all these foreign lesser countries. Now, the Vatican is situated around now to where all of our industry has gone out of this country. They're gutting this country very quickly now. It was slowly but surely, but now we don't have Detroit anymore where you make cars. And if they're making cars in Detroit, it's a foreign country, Japan or Germany, that's making them over there. The people have been so sound asleep that they don't realize that the very enemies that we had in World War II are the ones that now have taken over the country, Germany and Japan. And everything we buy almost is from Germany, Japan, or China. All clothing is made in China now. They can buy, store owners are buying jeans from China for 15 cents a pair, half a dollar, at the most a dollar. Because those people over there work for a bowl of rice a day, and they're very happy to get it. And we just saw a documentary on Africa where these people hadn't had anything to eat except these wild cabbages. And it was these black people over there just so dirt poor that the kids are dying like flies. And the government has warehouses full of food, and they won't turn them loose at all to these people. And there's one film after the other showing how these little kids are dying. You can see their rib cages. I mean, and they're just listless. And they look like old people, shriveled up old people, kids that are 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 years old. Some of them 7. They usually don't. And they'd say there was 2,800 people that just died last night, kids, because they didn't have food. And they found this one chicken, these guys, and they started dancing and everything, because today we're going to have chicken. And this one guy, they hadn't had food 20, because they get, hadn't had food for 28 days, something like that, or longer. They're eating these wild cabbages that were causing their stomachs to get real sick. It doesn't fill them up, but it makes them sick every time. But they said, we got to eat something, that and grass. And then they got this chicken, and it showed the picture of the guy. He had you could tell he was almost worshiping this piece of chicken. And he was saying, this is so good, he says. I mean, you could just see him savoring over that one piece of chicken. And the kids were happy, and they were saying, well, today we're happy because we have chicken. And it just shows, I said, I wish everybody in this, because you saw it?
Yes.
You saw it? Did anybody else see that?
I did.
You did?
Yes.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
I mean, I said, I wish the people in this church could see that. And I wish the people in this country could see that. I says, and the government has warehouses, and they're just wanting to give stuff away, but they won't send it over there. I said, how long do you think that if I was in charge of the government, that it would take me to get airplanes full of stuff and take it over to those poor, starving little children? And the adults, too. They said their stomach is in knots, and they were trying to walk to a city where they could get work. And they were so weak that they couldn't even walk. They had to fall asleep on the road because they were so weak. And people just eat sumptuously, no thanks in their heart about what they have. You need to go through some of that stuff. I've starved in my life. You don't know what it's like. And you know, a lot of people are worthless. They don't do anything for God or man. And they're users. They just work to eat themselves. That's all they care about. And the Lord never called us to care about ourselves. He said to prefer others before ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
And he stated that he wanted, as the Father has sent me into the world to win sinners, I also send you into the world to win sinners to the Lord. But they don't even think about that. All they do is waste food, they waste everything. So it means nothing to them, because when you don't make money, you've never made money in your life, everything is free. You're a freeloader. And nothing is important to you. As a matter of fact, you're staying, a lot of times there's people that stay in the church because of the food. Isn't that what you said? Come over here and say it. You said that before.
Yeah, I was being told about the different things that the people were doing in the church, and I was asked, why did I think that they were staying here? And I thought, well...
Yeah, I asked, why do you think they're staying in the church?
And right, and said, I said, they have food here, they have clothing, housing, they have everything they need.
That's why, because they're freeloaders. Because you really never see them winning a soul. Do you?
No.
Huh?
No.
Well, then what are they doing here? And then they act as though it's going to be a big hole in the church if they leave. So I'm not kicking you out, but I'm telling you, let's get busy for the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Like the Bible says you're supposed to. You're supposed to, if you don't do godly work, you're not supposed to eat. And then people think, you know, if you don't eat, then you're a bad guy, bad pastor. No, I'm not going to hell just because you want to be a freeloader and slothful and piggish and not work. I have to obey the commandments of the Lord. If you don't work, you're not going to eat. Now, I thought how thankful this man was over that one piece of chicken. Come here, Jeannie, and explain that. Because, you know, I've got so many other things on my mind, but, I mean, you saw that, and you don't see that much of that stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was after, like, 28 days, and they found this chicken, and it showed him, you know, they were about to cut its head off and get it ready, and then it showed it ready, and the man had the chicken definitely like he was worshiping it. He said it was the best chicken he had ever tasted in his life, and he was so thankful for it, and, you know, they were finally going to be a little bit full that day, but then the next days they were going to have to worry about food again. But he was very happy and very thankful for it.
Yeah, and the next day they're going to have to eat that sour, bitter, wild cabbage. It isn't like the cabbage said, it's so horrible tasting that the kids cry when they're eating it. And this is... I don't like to tell of tithes that I've given to starving people or anything like that. But, and because then you get no reward from the Lord. But I think people should support those people, all right? And I don't just talk, you know, you do it, but, you know, we have to do it as well. And I believe that's why we're able to exist, because I care about those people. And I'm sure other people in this church do as well.
Amen.
Now, there's some people, a lot of people in this church are not freeloaders. They do work. They do work of the Lord. But there are some of these young children that are in this church that have no idea what it's all about. Amen. They are raised with just, they never worry about anything in their life. And it doesn't look like some of them ever will. But hopefully, they'll receive from the Spirit in this word here, you know, the way that you're supposed to be, and then they'll begin being that way. Okay? And for people that lie, I mean, that is the lowest form. The Bible says, lie not one to another. Because we're all part of the same body, and a liar cannot get into heaven. So that means you just are letting people know, I'm not in the body, and I don't want to be in the body of Christ. Now, when Paul was talking, and I just keep saying, because I keep hearing it on these TV evangelists, they say, well, Paul actually went up to the third heaven. He says, I met a man one time, that whether he was in the body or out of the body, that means in the body of Christ, or out of the body of Christ, he was boasting of great things, that he went up to the third heaven and came back with information that is unlawful to say because it's not scriptural, is what he's saying, okay? But you take these heretics and they're not spiritual, and they say stuff like this all the time. And they're saying, Paul went up to the third heaven. There's a third heaven. And he says, of such a person, he says, you know, let them be the big shots and stuff by saying all these false things. He's being facetious. And people are so utterly spiritually stupid that they don't know that. They say, oh, Paul went up to the third heaven. He did not. He was mocking a person that said they went there. Okay? I mean, it's just so plain that it's amazing that people are that unspiritual that they can't get it. They just don't get it. Okay? Stupid. Ungodly. They're stupid and unspiritual because they don't do the deeds of the Lord. And then you see these young kids opening up ministries all over the place. They're novices, and the Lord tells you, don't allow a novice to teach. And they're up there teaching and they're praying that God will give these different secular governments power and dominion. And then they say that we'll vote for Bush because he's our president and we're supposed to follow our president. That's the same thing as if the Apostle Paul, that he's our leader. That'd be the same thing if the Apostle Paul or one of the disciples says that Caesar is their leader. He was the head of the country. Amen?
Amen.
But we're supposed to say, I follow Christ.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Not Bush or any other secular leader. I don't follow the king or the queen. Now, you think that's just sacrilege. I say you're sacrilegious because you were supposed to follow Christ in the Spirit. We're just supposed to follow the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
God is king. Amen?
Amen.
Christ is king. Christ is my leader, all right? The Bible says, I'm led of the Lord, not of Bush, okay? Bush believes in killing people and sending people, armies of men over there to kill them and to kill others. Jesus never does that, okay? So Christ is my leader. He's my Savior. He's my King. And if your leader is Bush, well, then you're not a Christian, okay? You ever hear Paul or Silas or Timothy or Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John saying that Caesar is my leader?
Never.
Well, that's what you're saying when you're saying that, all right? This is a spiritual, we're a new creation. The head, we're the body of Christ, not of Bush, all right? Or the queen or anybody else. And so they're all saying all of us Christians have to undergird. We have to undergird Bush. He's got to make it because he prays. It says pray in the Spirit. God, he says, is not going to hear the prayer of a person that's murdering other people. Amen?
Amen.
Starting wars. Not trusting in the Lord to destroy these other countries if they're bad. And even at that, we're supposed to pray for them. Amen?
Amen.
We're not to be carrying any carnal weapons. Well, that's not my leader if he's carrying carnal weapons and commanding people to do that, all right? I follow the Lord, okay? That's the only way you're going to get into heaven is to follow Jesus, amen?
Amen.
Following Jesus means you believe what he says, not what a bunch of fallen away former born-again Christians are saying, because they've become antichrist. Their leader now is the antichrist. They follow the Pope, because Bush follows the Pope. Amen?
Amen?
Clinton follows the Pope. all these people that are politicians, the Lord never says to follow a politician. He says, follow me. And Paul says, I follow Christ. Christ is my leader. Christ is my king. Every disciple, every prophet said the same thing. That would be like Elijah saying that Ahab was his leader. Huh? Was Ahab his leader?
No.
Well, you people are worse if you say it's things like that, that Bush is your leader. There's nothing in the Bible that tells you to do that, all right? We live in a whole different realm. We're in a heavenly realm. Those people are secular. They're not saved yet, and they're not going to get saved if you keep saying stupid things like that, all right?
Yes.
And satanic things like that. You're leading people astray. This is what it means, is these people on television that are supposed to be Christians are giving power to the beast, okay? That's what you're doing, all right? And you may think you're not and that I'm sacrilegious, but I tell you, you're of the devil. And that's for sure. Because there's two realms in this world. One is of the Lord and the other is satanic. You cannot serve two masters. You either have to have Christ and no one else as your king and your leader, or you have to have Bush. Okay? So choose you this day who you will serve. Amen?
Amen.
Christ or some secular punk that got voted into office by a bunch of deceived people. And they say he never even got voted in. They fixed the voting thing to where he made it in. I've written literature on who he is and what he is, and he needs to get saved. All right?
Amen.
I'm not saying go out and hurt him or anything. I'm saying pray for the dude that he'll get saved, okay?
Amen.
And that he'll say also, Christ is my leader, my king. He can say that all he wants, but if he keeps selling, sending people over to get killed, I don't have any sympathy for him whatsoever, and neither does God and his son Christ Jesus. All right? You better wake up, you people, and try to wake up the churches. Do something for the Lord. All right?
Amen.
Because they're all saying that on television, every single one of them. And I'm talking about Rod Parsley, too. I brought a good message about hellfire and brimstone, but what good is that if he tells you in the next breath that your leader is President Bush or the Queen of England or the Pope or somebody like that, that is secular and of the devil? Well, we were all possessed with the devil before we got saved, okay? There's nothing wrong in saying that people are lost and dead in their sins and trespasses, is there?
No.
Because it's true, okay? And you're supposed to be people that preach the truth. And that's why so many people are falling away. This big supposed to be revival that you see on television and all over the world is actually the falling away, the great falling away of the church. It's a deceptive thing of the devil. You don't think the devil is that stupid, as deceptive as he is, to just come out and just say, I'm the Antichrist. He's doing it through the churches. The false churches, the cult, the one-world cult. Because all these people are saying the same thing. That Chan and Paul Crouch are the biggest phonies going. All right? Same with Pat Robertson. He's saying, I predict that Bush is going to be the next president. We're not to care who is president, okay? You know, Rinky Dink is going to be president again. I don't care if what Rinky Dink person is going to be, the funny little person is going to be, number one. God is number one, all right?
Amen.
And God can take little rinky-dink and put him right in the pit of hell if he doesn't repent. Amen?
Amen.
Funny little guy, okay? Little hypocrite. All right, then what?
As we talk to our God and Father regarding your work of faith and your labor of godly work, deeds, and your continuous patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Patience of hope, because hope is like it's like a very tangible thing. The Bible says so. Amen?
Amen.
Faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. Because you're supposed to believe that you already have them, that they're tangible already. You have it. Amen?
Amen.
And if you don't believe that when you're asking for something from the Lord that it's tangible, then you don't have faith, and you're not going to receive it. Because let not that man think that he's going to receive anything from the Lord if he doesn't first have faith, which is the substance of things that you hope for. You have faith that you have it already before you ask. Amen?
Amen.
So, hope is the very essence of faith. If you don't have faith that you're going to heaven, you don't have any hope. And if you don't have any faith, you certainly don't have any hope to receive anything from the Lord that you're asking for. So hope is a very substantial, it's a very tangible thing. All right? Faith is the substance of what?
Things hoped for.
It's the substance. Amen?
Amen.
Substance means, you know, something. Amen?
Amen.
Of things hoped for. Well, what do you hope for? Well, I hope these people on television will stop saying that Bush or any then they call themselves Christians, and that all these secular people, oh, we pray for the people in I pray that they'll get saved. I don't pray that God will strengthen them in the way that they are. They're satanic. They're sending people over to get killed. They're a bunch of weasels. And the Lord says they are, all right?
Amen.
And so if you don't believe the Lord, well, then why are you calling yourself a Christian? And if you say that anyone else other than Christ is your leader and your president, it's not my president. Caesar's not my president. Ahab is not my president. Well, he's the president of this country. I don't care what country he's the president of. He's not my president, all right?
Amen.
My president, my king, the one in charge of me is the Lord.
Amen.
And I cannot serve him and then feel righteous about going to war or doing any of the things or not or taking Bibles. If he tells me to take Bibles out of school, I'm going to tell him to jump, okay? Or if he's going to tell me that I can't pray in school, I'm still going to tell him to jump, all right?
Yeah.
So that isn't my leader, all right?
Amen.
How can that be my leader if I'm not going to follow him, all right? Now, I do pay taxes because my leader told me to pay taxes. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar. The only thing God says, he wants all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. That leaves nothing for Caesar. And people that are not out in the world, they just think, they just, you know, nod, you know, because they are trying to impress me or something. But they don't really follow what the Bible says about that, and I'm telling you exactly what the Bible says. So render unto Caesar that which is Caesar. Well, he wants taxes. The Lord says, give him the taxes. He even shows how easy that he just gives you the money for that. So you better pay him. Amen?
Amen.
That's all. That's all. But he doesn't get my allegiance. He doesn't get my heart, my soul, my mind, or my strength. Because I don't want to be one written down that I gave my strength unto the beast. And if you want to be that way, then be it. But know that I've warned you that your soul, you are Antichrist. Because the Lord wants it all, and he's the only one that deserves it all. And of course, well, we'll get killed. A lot of people have been killed because they would not obey Caesar or some secular leader. And who are you? Okay? You'll be sorry if you don't make a stand, get on one side of the fence or the other. If you get on the wrong side of the fence, you'll be sorry for that. All right? Okay, what else?
In your continuous patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ.
You patiently hope. You patiently have faith every day. The people that prayed for Peter to get out of prison when they were going to kill him the next morning, they had hope. Amen?
Amen.
Otherwise, they had the faith. And they, so the substance of their hope, the things that they hoped for, they had faith, which was the substance of that which they hoped for, that he would be out of prison. They prayed for him. But some people, they get paralyzed when trouble hits. They freeze up like a bunch of, not human, rabbits. Rodents, and they don't pray, and you're not of the Lord. When you see trouble coming, you call on the one that is able to do something about it. When the people saw in Egypt their children being destroyed every time a male child would be born, they cried out to God. And God did something about it. He sent a deliverer. He sent Moses. And then he started turning the place, tearing Egypt to pieces until there was nothing left. Even the firstborn were all killed. The strength of Egypt was broken. God did that, okay?
Okay.
Not President Bush. And the Pharaoh, who was supposed to be the strongest political leader of that day, he couldn't do anything about it. His own son got taken. And his whole army got wiped out. And that was by God. Amen?
Amen.
That's who my leader is, all right?
Amen.
Okay, you want to have this guy out there in Washington that is has a horrible reputation down through the years, you want him to be your leader? Then you're scum. I don't have any respect for you at all. And I'm sure God doesn't. I'm positive he doesn't. Okay, then you go ahead. Okay, now get into the King James.
Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God.
Your election of God. Mm-hmm. What is that? But it means that God has chosen you. That's your election of God. Read what I said there.
We know God loves you, dear brothers and sisters. And
that's why he elected you. That's why he chose you. Elected means chose. Amen?
Amen.
When you elect a president, does that mean you chose him?
Yes.
Okay, well, God chose you to serve him and follow him, not Bush or anybody else, all right? But him. You have to get it straight in your mind. If you want to be a Christian, you have to follow the Lord. Okay? He's the master. He's the one that you're going to stand before at Judgment Day, not Bush. Bush is going to stand there too, in the nude, naked. The Bible says, naked came you into this world, and naked you're going out. Amen?
Amen.
That means Bush. God doesn't have any respect for him or anyone else. That they can sin and get by with it. God has no special people that can sin and get by with it. And you're going to find that out one of these days. One of these moments, maybe. Okay, then what else?
We know God loves you, dear brothers and sisters, and that he chose you to be his very own people.
He elected you.
And your continuous patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ of his return, you show this in...
Yeah, the patience that he's going to return one. Do you believe that he's going to return?
Yes. Yes.
All right? Well, that's what he's giving them compliments on, is their faith, that they believe, they have hope that Christ is going to return. Do you have hope that Christ is going to return soon?
Yes. Yes.
He said it won't happen until there be a great falling away. This humongous, supposed to be revival that's out there now, is the great falling away from the church, and they're all giving honor and power to the beast. They've taken the mark 666 into their forehead. They've taken the mark of the beast. They're blaspheming God by saying that Bush is their leader and that the Pope is their leader. That's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And there's no forgiveness for that in heaven or here on earth. Okay? And that seems like a shock to some people after you've heard it for 30-some years from me, almost 40 years. And this has been preached for hundreds of years. This is in the Bible for many hundreds of years. Okay, so that shouldn't be a shock to thinking people. People that have a brain in their head and that have a right spirit from the Lord in them. But I see shock on some people's faces. As though you're fools. You don't believe that there's a God. Okay, I know that he exists because that's how I got saved. Then what?
You show this in God's sight, in the sight of God, our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God.
King. That's what they, the King James says, and then read what I say.
We know God loves you, dear brothers and sisters.
That's why he elected you, okay? We know your election of God because we know you were elected and you took the election. You're doing the will of God, okay? You're not judging people of the Lord. You are a devil, and you're judging that the people of the Lord are devils. Just like those phonies that are out there that are saying they're in a revival. That is no more a revival of the Lord than the devil is the revival of the Lord. And if you believe it is, you're so stupid spiritually that I don't believe you'll ever be reconciled to the Lord. You've already taken the mark. Okay, go ahead.
We know God loves you, dear brothers and sisters, and that he chose you to be his very own people.
His own people. Not Bush's people or the Pope's people, did he?
No.
Did he choose you to have that, another leader?
No.
Then what are they talking about out there? Doesn't that frost you?
Yes.
It does me. There has to be somebody that's radically for the Lord. That's concerned, that isn't blasé, like some people I know. Casper Milktoast. Go ahead.
For when we brought you the good news, it was not only in words, but also with power.
Yes, with the power of God, his works, his deeds. Okay, now start out with the King James.
For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. And in much assurance.
Yeah, it was the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit telling people to follow a killer?
No.
Well, then you must be off your rocker if you think so. You couldn't be a Christian. You don't have any fiber of Christianity in you. You're nuts. Okay, then what? And the Lord just says, hey, be yourself, Tony. And that's what I'm doing, okay? He likes it. Whether you do or not. And I'm not trying to please you. I'm trying to please God. And I'm doing it. Okay? He gives me the free spirit of his to tell you what I'm telling you. Then what?
As ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. I read in one of the translations where it says, and you are imitations of me in the Lord. We're not to be imitations of Paul or the Lord. Amen. We're to be exactly like him. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so will you get that amplified version there and read that verse? What verse was that? It's on that pile of verses I got. I just want you to hear what they say, all these versions, the Amplified and the NIV says, you have to be imitations of Jesus. God doesn't want any imitations at all. He wants the real thing. When you sow the seed of corn, and I don't want imitation corn. I want the real thing. And the Lord is the seed, and we're to be exactly like him. Amen?
Amen.
That's what the Bible says.
And you set yourselves to become imitators of us and through us of the Lord himself.
Oh, okay. You want to read the Amplified Version?
No.
You want to be imitation of the Lord?
No.
Okay. And what did I say? What does it say in King James?
And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much
affliction. You can't follow the Lord unless you're in the Spirit, unless you're an actual reproduction of him. Can you?
No.
Okay, well, now get to read up to that point in my commentary.
For the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we told you was the truth. And you know that by the way we lived among you.
Like the way we conducted ourselves among you. You know that we were led by the Holy Spirit because nobody can do what I do unless they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And nobody would be shocking you so much if they weren't of the Holy Spirit. Because you're so weak. And you don't want to stay, get in the Spirit and stay there. And it's just shocking to you that there's somebody that's spiritual instead of carnal like yourselves. Is what he's, I'm saying that people should say, I look at those carnal people that call themselves Christians. And it just shocks them. They just think that I'm just don't have enough love in my ministry. Love is the keeping of God's commandments, all right?
Amen.
And they're so radically for Satan and for the Antichrist, they are Antichrist, that they just think that anyone that preaches it straight down the line as it is, that they're just too much. I mean, you can't be such a fanatic. Well, the world is a fanatic for Satan, amen?
Amen.
So there has to be some fanatics for the Lord. If you want to call us fanatics, that's fine. But all I do is just serve the Lord the way he says. Amen?
Amen.
I walk in the Spirit. Otherwise, I wouldn't have the boldness to preach it against the billions of people that are not of the Lord. We stand against the whole God of this earth. Okay? That's what the two witnesses are supposed to do. And even though the phonies, they call themselves Christians, won't do anything like that, and they boil over when you try to tell them something that's of the Lord, I say, the Lord says they're going to hell. In other words, to hell with them. And I say the same thing. All right? He says they're going to hell in the lake of fire. Amen?
Amen.
And there's no repentance for them. Because they're giving all their heart, soul, mind, strength, finances, everything they... And forget about the finances. We never ask people for that. Except we tell the people of the Lord that you have to tithe. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so go ahead.
You know that by the way we lived among you was further proof of the truth of our message.
And our ministry. Okay? Just the way we live. We don't live like the rest of you. We're of the Lord. You're of the devil. I'm saying that to these people that are on the false, this false revival. Okay, then what?
So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit, in spite of the severe suffering it brought you.
Yeah, do you receive the message with joy from the Holy Spirit? I don't see joy on a lot of people's faces. It is morbid looking. Do you look at the people's faces? You see joy on their faces? No, you don't. Look at their faces on television. See if you see joy. They do have joy on their faces. It's a false joy. Because they're not taking anything serious. Are they?
No.
Okay, then what?
In this way, you were reproductions of both us and the Lord.
Oh, reproductions of both us, the apostles, and the Lord? Yes, that's what it should say. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now read that in King James. Okay. It says followers of us and the Lord. That means reproductions of us and the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Exact reproductions. Right?
Right.
If you sow some corn in the field, are you going to get imitation corn or exact reproductions?
Exact reproductions.
Right. Well, if the Lord's seed is in you, you're going to be an exact reproduction. And if you're not, then you're just a phony. And I want you to know that so that you'll repent. Amen?
Amen.
I'm saying that to you people out there in radio and TV land, so to speak. Okay, then what?
And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit.
Well, yeah, so you can be afflicted and still have joy because you know you're in the Holy Spirit. And you know that you're not in the spirit of the world like those people in the false revival out there. They're so worried about secular government. Did you ever see Jesus worried about secular government or Paul?
No.
No, he just wanted to witness to him, that's all. And that's what we want to do. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not, I don't want to condemn them to hell. The Bible does that if they don't repent. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord doesn't enjoy seeing them go to hell. He doesn't enjoy people leaving him to serve the beast. The Bible says that Satan, the spirit of the false prophet, the spirit of the Antichrist, will sit down in the glorious mountain of the Lord, the glorious nation of the Lord, will sit down in many of the people, the temple of the Lord, the temple of God. Well, we're the temple of God. And so what's happening today is those people are letting Satan come in and sit down in them. Like when Christ is driving us, he's sitting in the driver's seat by the Holy Spirit leading us around. Amen?
Amen.
We're following him. But what the Bible says is that the Antichrist, the false prophet, the man of perdition is going to, by the Spirit, because everything is spiritual now, in the spiritual realm is going to sit down in the holy temple of God. Now, where is the holy temple of God?
We are.
We are, is right, some of the little children said. Well, not little children. Yes, we are the holy temple of the Lord. There's no other holy temple of the Lord, is there?
No.
Okay, some people that are the holy temple of the Lord. He says, know ye not that your bodies is the temple of God. Amen?
Amen.
And that you don't belong to yourself. You have no right to give Satan the permission to come in and sit down in you in the holy temple of God. Christ bought you with his blood. He owns you. You have no right. You're owned, and you're supposed to be operated by the Lord. Operated by the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So you have no right to give that temple to the devil. But that's what the Bible says that the people would do in the last days, that there'd be a great falling away before Christ comes. And he says, don't be at all alarmed about they say this or that, that the Lord's coming, until you see the great falling away from the Lord. And isn't it cunning of the devil to have disguised the falling away of the Lord as a revival? Look at that, how stinking sick he is, huh? And look at how many people that God has revealed this to. He revealed it to me. Nobody, if they had seen anybody else, he hasn't shown it to them. He showed it to me. And then in Daniel it says, the holy, the glorious mountain of the Lord, the glorious nation. Mountain is always symbolic of nation. The glorious nation. Look in the Bible about what's glorious. And then read in Revelation where it says the glorious bride of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So that the Antichrist will sit down in the glorious nation of God, right inside of people's bodies, and they will become Antichrist, which means they have taken the mark of the beast. And it's this very same thing as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. No forgiveness in this world or in the world to come. So I'm warning the people how close it is to the coming of Christ, because we see the great falling away. Okay? And it says the Lord's not going to come until then. Because the Spirit, you have to be spiritual to understand how close we are to the end of time. And it's obvious that most people are not spiritual. They don't have a special election from God. God's elect means he chose you. He elected you. Amen?
Amen.
If I elect somebody, I elect them. If God called me to do a job for him, he elected me to do that job, not to sit around. Amen?
Amen.
We need to get this message out. Don't you think?
Yes.
If God elected you to know it, and to, then you're to do it. Because it won't do any good to say you're a Christian. You have to be a Christian. Well, we could get persecuted for that. Well, the Lord says that all those that do the godly thing, that live godly in Christ, shall be persecuted. Oh, you don't want to do that? It says persecution with joy.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
He says, because Christ is now known throughout the whole castle. Amen?
Amen.
The palace. I'm being persecuted, sure. But I've got great joy in my heart, because I know that I was a big rock or a chip off the old rock, Christ, that made a lot of waves. Amen?
Amen.
Now, this false revival chooses to ignore anyone that's of the Lord. They won't even mention your name. I don't care anything about that. All I want to be is, when the Lord mentions my name, I'm ready to go when he calls my name. Amen?
Amen.
And somebody's calling you. Somebody's going to call you one of these days. And it's going to be the Lord. Somebody's calling you, so you better run. And what good will it do for you to run? You can't hide, inside the house from the Lord. He sends the grim reaper down the hallway and into your bedroom and through the locked bedroom door underneath the door. And he just comes in and pinches your little funny nose and lips together. That's how funny you are. The Lord made me know I was like a little funny monkey because he kept pulling the breath in and out of me when he first introduced himself to me. And I couldn't believe that. I realized immediately how powerful the Lord was, that he can take your life and you can't stop it from leaving your body. I mean, you could grab yourself, you know, around the waist or around your chest, and the spirit just goes out. You can't stop it. No one can add one more second to their life than what the Lord allows you to have. And so he's elected you to do something during the small span of time that you have here on this earth. A lot of people think 60 years is a long time, 70, 80, 100 years is a long time. That's like a drop in the bucket in comparison to eternity. Amen?
Amen.
And everybody that has the Spirit of the Lord in them, they're the same age. Because the Lord doesn't have a 60-year-old him and a 10-year-old him. It's all the same Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
The Ancient of Days is in you. That's your age. You have the Ancient of Days with you. Wouldn't you think?
Yes.
Don't you know? Not just don't you know? Okay? So you people that say that and you get old, you think you have the right to say, don't you know? No, you're still one, you know, less than a day old or whatever. You still got the Ancient of Days in you. Some of you young folks could say it too, couldn't you? Don't you know? You want to come over here and try it? No, we'll just forfeit that today. Then what else?
As a result, you yourselves became an exact example to all the Christians in Greece.
Yeah, an exact example of Christ. Nothing less. And for sure, nothing more. But the Lord says we would do greater works than him, you know, so that it would still be him. Amen? So it wouldn't be anything more. Just him. He wants an exact him. He wants to represent himself in you, okay? He wants to live in you as a holy temple of God. And he doesn't want you letting anything or anyone else in. All right? Yes. Isn't that fair when he bought you with his blood?
Yes.
And whether you think it's fair or not, that's the way it is, kiddies. And you just got to do it. You hear? You hear? Okay, then what?
And now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Greece.
Okay, now get up to that point in King James. Even beyond Greece. I just condensed it, Greece. It says Achaia and so on. Okay, then what?
So that we were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia.
Yeah, Macedonia, Achaia, I just said Greece. Because they're both in Greece. Amen? Now, when what's it called that reads the Bible, he says Macedonia. And I had a big argument with a Greek on the ship. I said, it's Macedonia. He says, let me tell you, it's Macedonia. Okay? He says, I said, well, Alexander Scorby says Macedonia. He says, look, I don't care. He doesn't live here. I do. Okay? I said, all right, yeah, I'll let you win the argument. Macedonia it is then. He was a security guard because the Turks were trying to blow up Greek ships. I was on the ship with him. And we got to be real good friends. And they were afraid they were going to blow the ship up that I was on. I said, why didn't you tell me that before I got on here? Just kidding him. Okay, then what?
For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything.
Well, we wouldn't have to say anything. We don't have to say anything because everybody knows that you're doing the deeds of the Lord. They're telling us. That's what he's saying. He says they're talking about you. They're saying that you're really doing the work of the Lord. You didn't get that out of there, did you? No. Okay, read what I said. In that regard, in that part.
And now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you people everywhere, even beyond Greece. For wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God.
See, people talk about you, you know. We see that you people are of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that what he's saying?
Yes.
All right, but you didn't know it before, right?
No.
That's why we have to go to Bible study. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
We don't need to tell them about your faith, for they themselves keep talking about the wonderful welcome you gave us, and how you turned away from idols to serve the true and living God.
Okay, read that in King James.
for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God.
Yeah, you turn from the Bushes, the Clintons, all these other people, from these idols that everybody idolizes, and the Pope, and statues, and sex, and filth, and degeneracy, illicit sex, and drugs, and all these things, which are idols, and turn to the real living God. Amen?
Amen.
The one that's really God, that is your God, the one that created you and put His Spirit in you. All right, then what?
How you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come.
Okay, now finish off with my commentary.
And they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus.
Yeah, because they're telling everybody, they're just telling everybody they run into. And you don't have to tell us, and everybody tells us, I mean, everywhere we go, we see people, hear people talking how godly you people are. He's complimenting them, okay? Okay, then what else?
And look,
I love this first chapter. It's only 10 verses, but I love it, 1 Thessalonians, amen?
Amen.
Then what?
And they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment.
Praise the Lord. That was 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. This is Tony Alamo, and the Lord bless you until chapter 2. Praise God.